Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is The Burden of a Lesser God. Based on our continuing theme, our sermon series on Psalm 23, listen today to the first part of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find on the back of it the sermon outline as we consider our theme, The Burden of a Lesser God. Not long ago, I found myself just 2 feet from an eagle. His wings were spread, his sharp talons were upon the branch, his piercing black eyes were staring at me. He was so close, I could almost touch him. But I didn't. I didn't reach out and touch him. Why not? Was I afraid of him? Hardly. He hadn't moved in 2 years. He hadn't budged an inch. You see, when I first opened the box that he came in, he impressed me. When I first set him on the shelf in my office, I thought it was pretty neat. I admired him. But you see, plastic man-made eagles are nice for a while, but you quickly get used to them. In this 23rd Psalm that King David has written, he's concerned that you and I don't make the same mistake with God. David's pen had already hardly touched the paper, and he's urging us to avoid homemade, handmade God. With the very first words of the psalm, David sets out to deliver us from the burden of a lesser God. Why did David write this 23rd psalm? That's the subject of a sermon series from the pulpit, by the way. This is sermon 2 of 18. And I urge you not to miss any of these sermons, but if you happen to miss it, go to the website of the church and listen to these series. David wrote this psalm to build up our trust in God, to remind us just who God is, so we don't get so familiar with him, we take him for granted. David uses 115 words in this psalm to just explain the first 2 words. What are the first 2 words of the 23rd Psalm? The Lord. Do you remember last Sunday's sermon? The luggage of life? We spoke about our habit of struggling under the unnecessary baggage of emotional and mental and spiritual luggage that weighs us down and enslaves us. But today, we get a warning against the heaviest and the most unnecessary piece of baggage that man-made, homemade God, God with a small g. That small g God looks nice, but it's really as useless as my plastic eagle. I need to ask you this morning, what kind of homemade gods do we have? Look at your sermon outline. Well, God like a genie in a bottle. Convenient. Handy. Need a parking place? Need a good grade on a test at school? Want your team to win the game? All you do is rub the bottle and poof, it's yours. And what's better, this God goes back into the bottle. Not to bother you, not to make any claim on your life. He's just handy when you need a favor. You really have control over this genie in a bottle, God. He just comes and goes at your demand. And then there's a God like a sweet grandpa. Really too weak to carry your load, but he's so soft-hearted. He's so wise. He's so kind. He just winks at you from the heavens when you do something you shouldn't do. But he's also very old. He sleeps a lot. Nothing to be afraid of. Sweet, but useless. And then there's a God like a busy dad. He never has time for your questions. He leaves on Monday to work, comes back late Saturday night, lots of road trips, lots of meetings. You can be sure, though, he's going to show up on Sunday morning, so you better be ready for church. You better clean up and look spiritual. But on Mondays and through the rest of the week, you can be yourself again until next Sunday. And then you better watch it. Have you ever held views of God that sound something like that? You and I, who should know better, have treated God at one time or another like that, a convenience, something nice and sweet, or someone of whom we should be afraid. And these are common views of people in our world today, held by people who have no idea of the nature of the true God as revealed in Holy Scripture. So many people today are comfortable with a God that looks nice, but that they can keep at arm's distance, who looks nice, but does little. Is that the kind of God you want? Is that the kind of God we have? David's answer in this 23rd Psalm is a resounding no. You want to know who God really is? David asks. Then read this. And then he writes the first words of the 23rd Psalm. Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, though foreign sounding to us, Yahweh is the Hebrew word our English Bibles translate as Lord. Check it out in your Bible. When you see the word Lord written in your Bible with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you know it's a translation from the original word Yahweh. Now, the name for God is very important. So important, in fact, that David chose Yahweh over El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elyon, God Most High, El Olam, God the Everlasting. These and other titles David could have used in his 23rd Psalm, but no, he chose to use Yahweh. Why? Because Yahweh is God's name. If you want to call God by name, then say Yahweh. That's what he told Moses in Exodus chapter 3. When God commanded Moses to quit shepherding sheep and to go back to Egypt to speak those famous words to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," Moses said, "Who shall I tell them that sent me?" And we read in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said, "When I go back to the Israelites and say, 'The God of your father sent me,' and they say, 'What's his name?' what shall I tell them?" Then God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent me to you." I am, by the way, is an English translation for the Hebrew word Yahweh. God said to Moses, "Tell them Yahweh, I am sent you." So thereafter, throughout their history, pious Jewish people considered the name of God too holy to be spoken. When they needed to say Yahweh, instead they said the word Adonai, which means master. Or as a replacement, they would also say Hashem, which means the name. And catch this. If a scribe had to write the name Yahweh, he would take a bath before he wrote the name, take a bath after he wrote the name, and then destroy the pen with which he wrote the sacred name Yahweh. The name Yahweh was respected. God never gave a definition of the name Yahweh. The name Yahweh sounds a lot like the Hebrew verb to be. So it might mean I am, or it might mean I cause to be. God is the one who is. God is the one who causes to be. Now, why is this important? It's important because we need a big God. You need a big God, a real God, a powerful God, not a plastic, homemade, man-made God like an eagle out of a box. Think about it. Do you know anybody else who goes around saying, I am? When we say I am, we add another word. I am happy. I am sad. I am hungry. I am tired. God simply says, I am. And he adds nothing else. He needs no descriptive words. Why? Because God never changes. He is what he is. He is who he has always been. Look at your sermon outline. He is an uncaused God. Though he creates, he was never created. Though he makes, he was never made. Though he causes, he was never caused. That's why Psalm 90, verse 2 says this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you brought forth the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yahweh is unchanging, he's uncaused, and he's ungoverned. My friends, you and I are governed. The weather determines what we wear. How'd you like the crisp morning this morning? I think this. We left our house at -4, the coldest morning I can remember in 6 years of living here. Ah, this is summertime in Alberta. But you and I are governed. The weather determines what we wear. The landscape determines how we travel. Gravity dictates our speed. Our health determines our strength. Now, we may challenge these forces and alter them slightly, but they still govern us. But Yahweh, our shepherd, doesn't check the weather. He created it. He doesn't defy gravity. He made it. He isn't affected by health. Look at what John 4:24 says. God is spirit. He has no limitations. God, who is spirit, has no limitations. He's right now just as equally in Beijing as he at the same time here in BC. Psalm 139 puts it this way. Where can I go to flee your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, O Lord, you are there. Unchanged, uncaused, ungoverned. These are only a fraction of God's qualities. He is Yahweh, our Lord. And David tells us, Yahweh, the Lord, is our shepherd. He does not change. Lloyd Douglas was the author of many novels. Probably the most famous novel he ever wrote was turned into a movie entitled The The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, as he tapped the tuning fork again, that's middle C. It'll never change, and you can count on it. My friends, You and I need a middle sea. Haven't you had enough change in your life? Relationships change. Health changes. The weather changes. But the Yahweh who loved you yesterday loves you today. The Lord who is your shepherd will be your strength, whatever life throws your way. Counselors can comfort you in the storm, but you need a God who can still the storm. A loved one can hold your hand at your deathbed, but you need a Yahweh who has overcome the grave. You need a Yahweh. On the other hand, you don't need what Dorothy discovered. Remember Dorothy from the movie The Wizard of Oz? It's still one of my favorite childhood movies. Remember what Dorothy discovered in The Wizard of Oz? As Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion went off down the yellow brick road. They went there to discover the Wizard of Oz, the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. And what did they find? They found out the wizard was a wimp, a fake, nothing but smoke and mirrors and sound effects. Is that the kind of God you need? My friends, you no longer need to carry the burden of a lesser God. A God on a shelf, a God in a box, a God in a bottle, a homemade, man-made, tame, toothless, sociably acceptable God with a small g who looks nice but really is useless. You need a God who can place 100 billion stars in our galaxy. You need a God who has placed 100 billion galaxies in our universe. You need a God who is at the same time so powerfully almighty and also so loving that he can come in the soft silence of the night and touch you with his comfort and his grace. My friends, you need a Yahweh. And according to David, in this 23rd Psalm, you have a Yahweh, and he is your shepherd. And this Yahweh shepherd loves you so much that he gave his life for you. On the cross, he died to pay the price for your sins and to defeat for you, yes, you, the power of sin and death and devil. All that he suffered, all that he did for you. And from the grave, he arose to be by your side, to walk by your side every day, and to give to you and all the sheep whom he loves the pastures of life everlasting in heaven. You have a Yahweh. He is your shepherd. The shepherd is Yahweh, the great I am. This I am shepherd is your precious Jesus. Listen to what he said to you, and the words he chose purposefully. In John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You no longer have to carry the burden of a lesser God. My friends, you have the real thing, and he will carry you. In the name of Jesus, our shepherd. Amen.